Good morning. Good to have you here. God bless you. Welcome. And we are going to get started. Lady Evelyn will be sharing with us today. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to her. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, honey. You may proceed.
Amen. Good morning. Good afternoon again. And welcome again to the room. I just want to thank all of you and thank the Lord for this and the pastor for this opportunity to share this morning. I do not take it lightly that he has afforded me this privilege, and the glory and the honor be to his name. Before I go on, please let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this golden opportunity to share your word with this house. And who am I before this, your great people? Please use my mouth and take over my mouth. Let me speak as an oracle of God. Let me not speak of myself, but of you. Amen. Amen. So today, I want to talk about the subject matter that we have, which is submission in all of its ramifications. What is submission and the stages of submission? We will also look at it. Amen. So if you can, at the benefits of submission, as the topic says, we'll also be looking at some ordinances of heaven and the ordinances of men and the ordinances of God. We'll look at submission to parents, God, those authority, your boss, your spouse. God requires some submission from all of us. Obedience is the act of submission. Now, I want you, if you can, type in the chat room, what are the other words for submission that you can think of? What are the other words of submission you can think of? If you can just type it in at the chat room. When you think of submission, what comes to mind? What other words? Let's see if anybody is able to do that. Surrender. Well, I like that. That's a good one. All right. Acquiescence. Wow, I like that. I can say that word. Thank you. Fellowship. Surrender. Yes. Yield. Obedience. Agreement. Yielding. Wow, that's good. Wonderful. What other words can you think of? Humility. Nice. Thank you, Brother Victor. Thank you, honey. Thank you, Sister Sierra. God bless you. All right. So we got some good answers here. All right. So what when we talk about when I went in and checked it out also for some of the similar words that we can use instead of submission, I came up also with yielding, capitulation. I have no idea what that agreement, acceptance, consent, accession, presentation, presenting, preferring, tendering, proposal, proposing, and also, and so on and so forth. And you gave super answers, and thank you so much for Don't give up your will to someone else. Give up your will to someone else. Thank you, Sister Mary, deference, and so on. Thank you all for that answers. We're going to continue. There are blessings of submission, you know, and it is enormous. In Ephesians 6:4, we're going to be looking at submission to authority, to parents authority, submission to school authority, submission to those in authority, submission in marriage, the blessings of submission, and what are the blessings of submission. So these are the things we're going to be looking at. So in Ephesians 6, starting from verse 1, it talks about children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you. And we can see that right away, there is the blessing that comes with submission, with obedience. You know, children, when you obey your parents, even though sometimes it's so hard, you know, what they're telling you, maybe in terms of your career, in terms of your whatever you're doing, controlling your movements when you're young, trying to train you, because the word of God says, train a child. And we see the training as very harsh, and we don't want to obey. But if we can just obey as children, there's a lot of benefits. Those children that are obedient to their parents, if you look at them, most of the time, things turn out right for them. And that's what those are the benefits of obedience. Now, verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a, you know, with a promise. I think I've read that. That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long. What a benefit. If you live long, that is so great to be able to live long. Just because you have honored your parents. So, and you fathers, you know, talked about fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath and so on. That's out of our range. But we're going to go on to verse 5 that says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God. So, servants here, we'll call us workers. You know, your boss is your masters. We call them masters now. And you on the job, you're like the servants there, because you have a responsibility towards your boss. So we are supposed to be obedient and not be not with eye service. Now, that really caught my attention, eye service. So let's talk about what is eye service. Eye service is when you do things only when someone is around. As soon as they're gone, then you do something else. And God is not like that. So when we work, and we work only when our bosses are around, that's when we perform. That's when we do what we are, our responsibility. Then we are not aware that someone else higher than our bosses is watching. So we ought to do things as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Says, but as servants of Christ. So if you see ourselves as servants of Christ, we'll be doing whatever we're doing as unto the Lord. You know, with good, you will do your service as to the Lord and not to men. So if we have that in our mind, doesn't matter if your boss is around or not, you will do what you're supposed to do. You will come in at the time that you're supposed to be there. You won't say, oh, my boss is off this week, so I can go late to work or something. You will not do that. You will obey the word of God. So you are submitted to the word of God, knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, that's verse 8, he doeth the same, he shall receive of the Lord. So God is watching, basically, what we're doing. If we're submitting to, not submitting to our boss, God does not want it. He wants you to submit. So submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. So verse, I think this is from Colossians, I believe, that I'm talking here. It's talking about the submitting in the husband. It's now talking about husband and wife, okay? So to the husband and the wife, it says submitting yourself one to another, all right? So when we do that, we are, you know, submitting to in the fear of God. Also, verse 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So you're submitting yourself to your husband as unto the Lord, just as the worker on the job is submitting as unto the Lord, you know, to their boss as unto the Lord. We are required, even in our marriages, to submit to our own husband as unto the Lord. And if you see that language, you say own your own husbands, not somebody else's husband. So submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Then 5:23 say, for the body, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So we see the benefits of submission here as the wife. When we submit, there's a covering that comes with it from your husband. You know, as Christ is covering us, the church, the husband is also covering his wife. You know, when the wife is also in submission. Amen. So therefore, in 5:24, it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So emphasizing that word own husbands, which is your own husbands. The word of God, which is also God, tells us what to do and the benefits and all the reasons of our actions. For children, the benefit of submission to their parents is that it will be well with them and they will live long. This is a promise, and a promise is bound to be delivered. God is not a man that he will lie. If he promises us something, he will deliver. You know, that's his song. I say, if he promise, he will do it, and so on. You know, that song emphasizing that when God promises, the promises of God, they are yea and amen. So let us know that God does not lie. He's not a man. We have to make sure to fulfill our own part of the puzzle, okay? Most of the time, we are the one that don't do our own part. In Ephesians 6:5, it says, servants, be obedient to your masters according to flesh, whether they are believers or not. It does not matter whether they are believers, whether they are older or younger. We need to be obedient to our boss. As we go to a job, they tell you, this is your boss. Whatever he tells you, do. Then you have to obey. Do first, then complain. And I had issues. Now, I want to go a little bit personal here for myself. You know, when I first came to the United States, coming from a country where age matters. So even on the job, sometimes if someone is older than you on the job, you show them respect, coming from the culture that I come from. So when I get here, and I had issues with that when I first came, I found it difficult to obey my bosses that are younger than me. I want us to focus a little bit on verses that says that, you know. Now let me talk a little bit about that, about obeying your bosses. So if you obey your boss, it doesn't matter their age, it doesn't matter the ethnic or where they come from, it does not matter. Just the boss that they have put them there, some of us, even some of these that come from other countries or from Africa, and we go to school, we are well learned, we get to a place, and they make us bosses. Some of these people find it difficult to be obedient or to obey what we say, because it's like, oh, she's from Africa, or she's from, but that's not what God is saying. They have given you the authority to be the boss and to call, to make the demands or the commands in that area. And they have to listen to you. They have to listen to you. So it does not matter what they think, whether you are pink or blue or black, as long as you have the right to be the boss, they have to obey. So with that being said, let's focus also, let's talk a little bit about iService, you know, but as unto God. When we do something only when someone is looking, I think we have talked about that. As soon as no one's around, the boss is not around, then we goof off. Rather, let us walk with the fear of God and do as we are supposed to work. Let us do it, whether someone is watching or not, whether the boss is around or not, knowing that God's eyes go through and through the earth, and he can see whose heart is perfect before him. Now, the hierarchy that of submission, we have talked about children obeying parents, wives submitting to your husbands, husbands submit to God. We all have to submit to some ordinances, and we ought to submit to the ordinances of heaven. You know, there are some ordinances that God has, you know, put in place. God, we have to submit to those. You know, I think we talked about resting. That's some of the ordinances that God has put in place, that we have to rest. And if you say, oh no, I'm not going to rest, I'm just going to walk around the clock and do, and then you're going to get it. So these are the ordinances of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 1 Corinthians 11:13. You know, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen. Now, but the next verse says, but I will have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we all have someone that we are responsible to, that we're submitting to, and we ought to do that, you know. So we see a perfect example of submission in Luke 22:42. When Jesus submitted to the will of God, the will of the Father, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So here is giving up his will. His will would have been to just not do it, but he has to surrender to the will of God. So sometimes it's unpleasant when we have to submit to our bosses. Maybe the work they're asking us to do, we don't want to do it, we don't like it. Or maybe the profession that we're in, or maybe they're suggesting to us, or my parents is telling us to go into, we don't want to do it because we just want the easy way out. But if we just submit and say, okay, because you said so, I will do it. And then we'll see the repercussion, we'll see the blessing that comes to it. There's also universal submission, as in Romans 13:1-7. Romans 13:1-7. And it says in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. Verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances, the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So here is the ordinances of God. God has set those in authority, you know, that place them in the authority. So if we resist their power. Let's say you're driving and the police officer stops you and you say, oh no, I don't have to listen to you, and so on. And then you can suffer for that. They can do anything to you. But if we know that this is ordinances that God has put in place, even this police officers' orders in the country, governors, presidents, and laws that are placed in the land that we have to obey. And if we say, oh no, because I'm a believer, I don't have to obey those rules, then you're going to suffer the repercussion. You know, that's why I say you shall receive the damnation in yourselves. Now, verse 13 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Without them, not be afraid of the power. Do not that which is good. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So let's do what is good, what is right, what is in the law. If your neighborhood has set rules, we have to obey those rules. We can't say, oh no, I don't have to do it. And then, you know, the worst will come to you. They take you to court. They'll charge you to court. And they, sometimes you have to pay heavy fines. You know, there was a time a woman, an older woman, a family member, you know, according to their, you know, the environment, the homeowner association, she was not supposed to have anything protruding from your window, like air conditioner. So unfortunately, her air conditioner broke down. So she put a temporary solution because she didn't have the money to fix the air conditioner. So she put an air conditioner, she bought one and put it on the window, and it was protruding. And the homeowner association was afraid of that. They frowned at it and said, no, you can't do that. They talked to her and she refused to remove it. So as a result, they took her to court and she was fighting and said, well, I'm hot. It's in summertime. I need AC and I don't have one. So I have to have this put on my window. And they said, no, you can't do that. So she ended up having this person did not tell me when she was fighting this battle. Until when they took her to court, and then our fee or charges, you know, went to like 10,000. And then she called on me and said, can you help me? I said, with what? So with the money. I said, for what? I said, no way. I can't do that. I'm sorry. You should have called me when you're going through this. I should have told you to obey them and not have to take it this far. So what are we talking about? When we don't obey the stipulated rules or role in a community, we tend to get into trouble. So I'm going to go to verse 4. For he is the minister of God to deal for good. Now, this one is talking about the minister in the church now. We're talking about school. So that's always submission one way or the other, whether you're in a ministry, in the church setting. There should be some kind of submission. For is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For is the minister of God a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I think this probably is talking about God himself, you know, Jesus himself, having the sword in it and be able to minister and be able to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Only God can do that. Not a man cannot do that. So I think that's, let's reserve that for God. Wherefore, we must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For your own conscience, let's obey what we are supposed to be subject to those that are in authority. For this cause, we pay tribute also for they that are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. So we have to pay our tribute also for God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now, verse 17 says, render therefore to all their dues. And there comes the dues that we talked about the last time. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fair to whom fair. Honor to whom honor. So putting everything in perspective, let us render to everyone what is due. You know, custom, tribute. Sometimes some of us find ourselves in where we have to do customs, where we have to, maybe during the marriage ceremony, we go back to customs and we do some customs, and that's okay. We have to do that. So, and then fair to whom fair, and honor, and then those we ought to honor, let's honor them. Let's not dishonor those that we ought to honor. Now we talk, the next topic I want to talk about is wives' submission. In 3:18, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord. So the Holy Spirit will direct you in what is fit in the Lord. All right? So that sometimes the Lord will have a preeminence on your submission, and the Lord will probably speak to you to do something, and then maybe your husband will say contrary to that, but as it is fit in the Lord, let's try to submit ourselves. Then husbands, 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. And then children, I think we're talking about the book of, I think Colossians here. It said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So these are, you know, things that God has ordered in his word. So we have to be submissive to the word of God and obey his word. So sometimes when we see ourselves as husbands and we find us being bitter, being angry for no reason, then we have to remember this. Say, okay, I'm not supposed to be bitter against my wife. I'm not supposed to be bitter. So, and then the Lord will help us. I know sometimes men go through a cycle of stress that makes them sometimes to be that way. But if we remember the word of God, it will help us. Then children, now we have to obey our parents. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. And emphasis, you know, in the Colossians 3:20, this is well-pleasing to God when we obey our parents. Amen. And then church submission 13:17 says, obey them that have rule over you, and submitting yourselves for the watch for your souls. That's where the church thing comes in. And as they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So let us obey them that have rule over us in terms of our spiritual matters, and submit ourselves for they which watch over our souls. For them, because they have to give account. They have to give account. For they must do it so that they can do it with joy. They can say, well, I told her, but he didn't do it. So, and the finality of it is this: to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the order is, first of all, you have to submit to God. You have to be submitted to the will of God, submitted to the word of God. And then you resist the devil with the word of God. Resist him, and then he will flee from you. But if you don't submit to God's word, the devil will not flee from you, period. It will be like the story of the devil in Acts that said, Paul we know, Apollos we know, but who are you? You know, James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. resist the devil and he will flee from you. So let's try to do that. Let's submit to God so that the devil will know that this person is submitted to God. I cannot do anything with them. And they will identify you as somebody that is submitted to God. They cannot do nothing about you. But if you're not submitted to God, then they can mess with you. Then you can resist them, because then they can say, oh, who are you? So draw near to God in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8 says in James 4:8, so draw near to God and he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So God is saying to us that we should draw near to him in our actions, in our prayer life, in everything that we do, in studying the word, and he will draw near to us. You need to cleanse your hands, you sinners, because sin and God do not mix. So we have to clean our hands. If we are into things that we're not supposed to, then clean up your hands, clean what you're doing, and purify your hearts. You double-minded. You know, God does not like double-minded people. And the story in Acts 19:13 to 17 and 13 says that the certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the name Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They could not even say whom we preach, because they don't have rights to that name. First, why? Because they are exorcist. They are practicing other things. They're double-minded. They're not doing the things of God. They have things in their heart. And, okay, then there's 14th. And there were seven sons of the sons of Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which do so. And then of 15, and the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Because the devil knows who you are. He knows. He knows if you are obeying the word, if you are not, if you have skeleton in your closet, he knows everything about you. You cannot hide from him. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You know, because you have not demonstrated that you are with God. You do not have the authority. You do not have the power to command us. And the man in whom the evil spirits were, you know, was, leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. God forbid, you know. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also, dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So we see that some of the benefits of submission to God is that it set us apart, because we are submitted to the things of God. We are submitted, and the devil knows it. You know, he knows it, that if you don't know the word of God, if you're not submitted to him, he knows it, and he knows how to just mess with you. But if you know it, it's going to run away, going to flee and say, oh, this one knows the word of God, I better go. You know, now we're going to go into the book of James 1:6. Say, but let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That is, when we ask something, let us ask in faith. Let's ask God, knowing that we have, you know, the word of God in us. Let's ask God in faith. Let us not, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we're talking of someone that is double-minded now, you know, that does not, you know, is wavering. It's like a wave of the sea. It's not, you know, sure that God's good. But when you're submitted to the word of God, you know, you know that you will receive everything that God has asked you. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So God forbid. Amen. So in talking about women now, in Titus 2 verse 3, we're talking about women, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior, becoming holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things. Talking now about the aged woman, if we're in submission to the word of God, this is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be in good behavior. In terms of holiness, we're not false accusers, we're not giving too much wine, God forbid, teachers of good things. So we're teaching the younger women good things. Amen. And then in the book of Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's what they need to be telling them. Not, oh, go and do this, go and do that. That is not right. Some older women could give bad advices, but the Bible says don't do that. Teach them to the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be obedient, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When we're not obedient to our own husband, the word of God will be blasphemed. So God forbid, we don't want to be like that. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, in the book of Titus now, and to please them well in all things, not answering back, not talking back to them. The book of Titus chapter 2 is still exhorting servants to be obedient to their own masters. So not questioning back, not talking back, not questioning their authority, and so on. And then verse 10 says, not prolonging, probably maybe that's not answering back, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Amen. Now, there's some ordinances of God that God has put in place that has to be the day, the night, and so these are the ordinances of God. And nothing can change that. Then there's ordinances of man, you know, the time to rest and time to wake up, you know, all the things we have to do, the ordinances of man. And then the Act. I want to share with you some scriptures from the Art of Submission. And it's by Ushena. It's a reading plan in the YouVersion. And I will share with you some of the scriptures that you put there. And if you want to write them down to check them out, if this really talks about submission. And because I want to give her the credit, because I'm not the one that, we better give credit to who credit belongs. When we know that this source, if we know the source of something, let us give them the credit. So it's Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. And Isaiah, let me see if we can go there quickly. Proverbs 6, I can't find my phone. Proverbs 6, 5 to 6, what did it say? Excuse me. All right, so in just a moment, I'm going to my Bible now. All right. Praise the Lord. Proverbs. I'm going there. So this lady, when I saw the name, I said, wow, this is a Nigerian person. Because Uchena. Okay. 5 and 6. It says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, how we are movable, that thou canst not know them. I don't know how that's. And then that's 5 to 6. Her feet go down to death, hast thou take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest. I don't see how that has to do with, oh no, it's Proverbs 3, I'm sorry to say. That's the wrong verse. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. So, trust the Lord. So, Proverbs, I'm sorry I gave you the wrong verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. And it talks about trusting the Lord with all your heart, and leaning not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. So, in submission to that, we have to, you know, acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. Also in Isaiah 46 verse 10, and 46 verse 10 says, as my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria. Now tell me how that, I think I gave the wrong. Isaiah 46 is what I'm looking for, not 10. Isaiah 46 verse 10. And I went to the wrong place again. All right. I need a second Isaiah. Okay. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasures. So this is God's talking and declaring the end from the beginning. I know our pastor has talked about this particular verse many times, that God declared the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, and the things that are not yet done, saying only his counsel shall stand. So God already knows the end, and so we have to submit to him and know that this is God that's talking to us. So let's look at Psalm 139. I'm going to go to Psalm 139. And just a moment. All right. Psalm 139 and verse 18. All right. Okay. And it says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with thee. So, just like I said, this lady is telling us that these scriptures that she put here, it has to do with submission. I'm going to disagree with this one. Yeah, so we just want to thank God for this time of learning that we ought to. So let's go a little bit back to what we've been talking about submission. We talked about submission to parents, that children should submit to their parents, wives should submit to their husband, and husband and wife to submit one to another. All right. So, and there's a lot of benefits when we do that, when we submit to ordinances of God, the ordinances of man, and we submit to that, we see the benefit that comes with it, you know, the blessings that comes with it. If we honor our parents, if we obey the word of God, and if we know the word of God, you know, we ought to know the word of God. We ought to be well-versed so that the enemy cannot play ping-pong, as the pastor would say, ping-pong with our lives. So if we know, the devil will resist us. You know, sorry, resist him, you know, and he will resist us. He will run away from us. Resist the devil. We're supposed to resist him. We're supposed to stand our ground with the word of God, resisting him by our knowledge, the ability to articulate and to speak the word of God. And the enemy will run, you know, he will not mess with us. You know, he'll say, oh, this we know, that we know, but who are you? You know, say, Ebo I know, Bridget I know, Kolakbo I know, because he knows the word of God, he knows it's right. Grace I know, I will not mess with them. I'll just find someone else that doesn't know anything and pounce on them. And that's what happened to those people that were messing, you know, those exorcists, you know, that wanted to cast out, you know. You can't mess with the word of God. You cannot. You better be authorized. You better know what you're doing. You better be well-versed. You better be called, you know, to do it. And if you just go out and say, oh, I'm just going to, God is going to find you out, going to disgrace you, and you are going to be very sorry. So let's stay where we belong. Let's stand upon the word of God. Let's not go overboard. In Jesus' name, amen. So with that being said, we have gone through obedience, the church obedience to submission in the church. A church that has, you know, someone that you don't submit to, that overthrow the leadership of the church or the leadership of in order to get ahead, and think that if they do that, God is watching. You cannot do that. You cannot go in and overthrow the leadership and think that it's okay, I can just go in. This is not an office thing. You know, people do that in the office sometimes. Sometimes you're working with people, they come in and then they are scrambling to overpower or to go up, get ahead of you. They do all kind of things. They tell on you so that you can be demoted, so that they can be promoted. And this happen in the world, you know, in the office world, where people do all kind of things in order to get to gain advantage, to get ahead above their fellow, you know, their fellow co-workers. And sometimes they take your own knowledge and claim it to be theirs. I mean, some of us have experienced this on the job. We have seen people that have done that. But in the houses of faith, let us, you know, live according to the word of God. Because these people, these ministers, we have to give account. We have to give account of our souls. So they ought to watch carefully how they lead and how they present themselves in the household of faith. So with that being said, we're going to pray that God will grant us the spirit of submission, to submit to his word. Because the final analysis is that we all be submitted to the word of God, that we all be submitted in every areas of our lives, whether we are our children, whether we are students in school, the school authority, we ought to be submitted to the school authority. We can't say, oh, I can go out during class and just leave. You can be suspended for doing that, you know. So there are ordinances of man that are set in place that we have to obey. And we have to be submitted to those authorities. And may God help us in our obedience, in our submission, especially to the word of God, and how to articulate this. And whatever area that we find ourselves, if you find ourselves on a job, in school, in the home, as children growing up, or in obedience to our parents, because these things help us. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they grow up, they will not depart. But there's the process, a process where you have to submit to your parents, where you have to submit to their leadership, to their training, and don't be wiser than them. Some children don't submit to their parents' teaching because they think they're old school. You know, from the old school, oh, nah, mom, your dad, you're from the old school. We don't have to do that anymore. If you just obey, if you just submit yourselves to that, their knowledge, their experience, and what they're telling you, what to do and not what to do in terms of, because they have the rule over you. You know, children need to submit to their parents. They have the rule at that time over you. There's the time when they don't anymore. You know, let's say you're married now. Your parents cannot now say, oh, I want you to obey what I'm saying. No. You have gone through the training session when you were growing up under your parents' authority. You have gone through that. So at that point, you ought to have known and be able to use what you have learned. Many of us that are grown up, we still hear our parents' voice in our head, you know, like maybe they have trained you not to be to be punctual as a trainer, and you submitted to that training. Then when you grow up and you are an adult, you know, it keeps ringing in your head. That's why I say it will not depart from you. You know, you're going to be late. You're going to be late. I, for one, have to go through that. Every morning it's like I'm hearing my mother's voice saying, you're going to be late. Get up, get up, get up, do this, do that. And I try not to be late to anything because of that. And this is what training does to people. But if we train children in the opposite way, then they're going to grow up like that. Whatever it is we train them with is what they're going to grow up with. So may the Lord help us that we will give them the right training. And also in the talking about the husbands also, that the husband indeed, in the marriage, you know, submit one to another, the husband and the wife, they submit one to another, and they see how things will flow smoothly in the family when they recognize the leadership of the house. We have to, the woman is not usurping authority. There is a part, there's a time when a woman usurps authority over her husband, then that is not accepted by God. You cannot usurp authority over your husband where you tell him what to do and you're roaming around all over the place. You can ask for help, all right? But you cannot usurp authority over your husband. So that is, will be against the word of God. So let us stay and be aligned to the word of God. So thank you, everyone. It's been a wonderful time. So we're going to pray, and I will end this session. And then if you have any things you want to add to it or take away from it or something, or your contribution will be appreciated. So I will pray us out. Now, our Father and God, I thank you for this time that we have listened to you, that you have spoken. I thank you for the opportunity to use my voice at this time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have allowed us to listen to these words, and Lord, to help us. And the topic of today, which is submission and the benefits of submission, how we get blessed when we submit to you, and how children are blessed when they're submitted to their parents, and the good, the promises of God that are yea and amen, that they may live long, that it may be well with them. Lord, we see so many children that are struggling because they did not listen when they were supposed to listen. They are struggling with life. They're struggling with so many things because at the time when they were supposed to listen, they did not listen. We ask for help. We ask for repentance on their behalf, that Lord will repent on their behalf if they have been disobedient to their parents, if they have been disobedient to authority. We ask, Lord, that you have mercy upon them and help them to align themselves with the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here, for the grace you have given us to be here every morning. And I thank you for the pastor for allowing us and developing us. He has given us the opportunity to develop ourselves that we thought would never be possible, but he has given us that opportunity. I thank him, and I thank God for this room. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for all that he is doing. We give him all the glory and all the honor and all the majesty. Let it be ascribed unto his name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, and I'm going to yield my mic here. God bless you all for listening. Amen.